The reason I'm here is because of a relationship. I would not be here if I did not know John Holler. And if Jim did not know John, then I would not be here. So we see that there's ultimately, we get everything we need from each other through relationships. The problem we have today with church folks is they want to hop around. They want to go here and there. They shop for churches like they shop for Walmart or Target, Kmart. See, God has a process for you to go through. And believe it or not, what I found out about God is if a prophet's driving through my town, through my city, he's probably not going to tell that prophet to pull off the side of the road and come find my house and give me how much money I need. He's going to use someone that's in relationship with me. See, we have to understand, this is all preliminary, I'm just going to see, we get to where we need to. I'll put it like this. In Africa, this is what they say. Fathers are ladders. You get nowhere without a father in the faith. And what I found out about the hippie and the cowboy generation, same spirit. I don't mean to make any cowboys mad, so don't be looking for me to beat me up later, because I can probably, well, I can't outrun you now, but nonetheless. See, we have trouble getting people in the corral. Can't get a bridle on them, can't get a saddle on them. Why? Because them and Jesus got their own thing going. I know I'm talking to the choir, this isn't you. But see, there's something called process. And unless you want to submit to process, say, well, I would submit to process, but I don't like bad leadership. Do you know I grew the most in my life under bad leadership? Found out what not to do. That's good. Yeah, well, anyway. So if you don't have a church, because I believe in the local church, and I believe you need to be a part of the local church, submitted to the local pastor and the leadership, tithing members that you're able to give and absolutely see tremendous results in your life. Amen. And no one paid me to say that, so amen. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. And first of all, Lord, we want to thank you for the air in our lungs and the water that we drink. The simple things that you give us, Lord, often that we take for granted. Thank you for life, abundant life. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful meeting, these wonderful people here together. Lord, let your anointing rest upon this service. And Lord, you know I need your help. So, Holy Spirit, do what you want to, sir. This is your business, not ours. This is your people, not mine. So, Lord, you do what you want to in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I just returned from Africa, and I have an African son. My wife and I have African grandchildren. And I mean that he's not really he's my spiritual son. And but I love him. And he's done great things for God. And we'll talk to him a little bit about him in a little bit. I get the opportunity to go to the world and preach the gospel. And so we've got a bunch of meetings planned up. We're looking to go into Honduras in July, and then August we're going to go to Colombia, and then September, it's our anniversary month, so we're probably going to lay a little low on that, and then unless something comes up. But then October, we're going to go to Haiti, and then November, we're looking at going to Cuba, which is a big trip. Cuba's amazing. We're going to do three pastors' conferences there, so it's going to be fun. So y'all can be praying for us. You want to make a check out to Love Me Ministries, just go ahead and... That's a joke. Hey, God's called you to win in life. Amen. Whatever you may be going through right now, God's called you to. I realize I heard the Lord when Jim started messing with my verse. God's called us to be an overcomer. Amen. We understand that. And I believe that when things go wrong, it's easy for us to get focused on the things that aren't right. It's easy to look at the problems and the difficulties and the things that distract us. But ultimately, God's called us to overcome. So, you know, things are bigger than you. It's easy to get overwhelmed. But what we forget about is the forgotten commandment. We talk about the Ten Commandments, we forget about the forgotten commandment. And that's found in Genesis 1:28, the forgotten commandment. Because this is a command upon you. Then God blessed them and said to them, is this male and female? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That's what God's called us to do. Is that right? Now, God's blessing, now hear me in this, because this is intellectual, you like this. God's blessing reveals man's purpose. You can't fulfill God's purpose without his... I said you cannot fulfill God's purpose without his... blessing. Come on, family, I'm talking to you. You cannot fulfill God's purpose without his... blessing. And God has... bless you. So, blessings gives you the ability to fulfill his purpose on the earth. See, when you walk in the blessings, then you can fulfill his purpose. God's blessing multiplies what is in your hand. And everything you put your hand to is to prosper. God's called you to be fruitful and to multiply. That means that you are blessed to fill the earth with what? Blessings. And what's the greatest blessing? The blessed giver. He is. He is. Now, in Hebrews, fill the earth means this. It says, take by the hand and make it produce. That's what it means. Take it by the hand and make it produce. The only way that you can defeat the curse of the land is by taking it by the hand and making it produce by the blessings of God that's upon your life. Amen. See, if you don't fully have the revelation knowledge that you're blessed, then you cannot fulfill God's will on the land. If you walk around and say, I got this curse on me. I got these things on me. I'm constantly, you know, fighting this. See, when you become more blessed minded, when you understand that you have a blessed mentality, you're able to come against the curses that want to come against you. Now, see, I believe that all creation must respond to the person that's blessed of the Lord. I believe the land has to respond. I like Jim says, I believe the weather has to respond. Do I have any faith in here tonight?
Yes.
Now, if I walk up to you and gave you a car, you would really be happy. Especially if it's a brand new one. Man, you would just be delighted. Now, listen, title deed, everything. You've signed it over to you. You'd be jumping up and down. Says, and what would you do? You would walk over to that car and you would say, look at my blessing. Yeah, that's what you'd say, right? Then look at my blessing. Now the truth is that's not the blessing. It's a product of being blessed. It's a product. So you're not blessed because of what you have. You're blessed because of who has blessed you. You can take a blessed man or woman and take them to a desolate place, and because the blessing of the Lord are upon their lives, the land will become blessed. The land will become blessed because God has blessed us. It's impossible for you to be a blessing to the people around you unless you're blessed. See, just having enough for my four and no more is not good enough. God needs to put some money in your hand, because if he can get it to you, can he get it through you? That's what you have to understand. I'm blessed to be a blessing. So when God speaks to you to give money away, are you willing to do that? Amen. And so often we fail as a church on a dime on a dollar. We fell on a dime on a dollar. We said, oh, we don't believe God can provide for us because we can't give that tithe. Dime on a dollar. We don't believe in that tithe and stuff. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Whatever. Blessed to be a blessing. I got a phone call like at 3 o'clock in the morning about 2002. And there was an African voice on the other line, and it says, I'm calling because I need a father in the faith, and I'm just looking for someone. I don't know anything really. I need books. I need help. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, Jim said I didn't seem very friendly. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not very friendly at all. Now, I love Pastor John. Pastor John's like talk radio. He just can talk about everything and anything and love on everybody and get involved in everything. I'm kind of like this.
That's right.
You
didn't like anybody.
I love everybody, but, you know, it just don't come easy. I really want to. I have an art to, but you know, to know me is to love me, and not many people know me. So, you know, I came from a family that I really, you know, to be a hugging and loving and kissing stuff. Oh my gosh, they didn't do it, and now that I get around my wife's family, my father-in-law walks up and tries to kiss me, and he knows it just drives me crazy. My African son, he walks up to me, and he's about that tall and about that broad, and he says, Dad, Daddy, he calls me Daddy, Daddy, I want to hold your hand. And he's standing there going, and I'm going, oh God, every homophobe thing is going off in me, and I'm going, Jesus, Jesus, I can't be touching another man. Oh Lord, if I look at him, I said, son, I love you, but I can't do this, because it's just the way they do. You watch over and you see two pastors just grab hands and just be talking, and just it's part of their nature. Parts nothing wrong with it at all. But anyway, I get sidetracked. So you ever see that movie Up? You know, it's squirrel. I'm kind of that way. I leave doors open. I actually dropped one morning after I was drinking coffee. And I looked out there and I said, dang, I forgot to shut my car door last night. Got out of my car. So I hope the cat didn't pee in it. I do stuff like that all the time. I come in and I hear this gun. And I'll be in the kitchen and hear this. Bam, 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 bam. And she's shutting all the doors and drawers that I open so I can see everything. We're all different, right? Well, anyways, God bless Sandy. And this is my wife for 43 years. 42 years. I make it up as I go. So I get this phone call. And I begin to investigate this young man, because I've been in missions a long time, and there's a lot of folks just try to take advantage because they're Christians, and so but this young man kept calling and calling and calling. Finally, I asked him, so what do you want? And he said, I want books. He said, I don't know anything. So I began to counsel over the phone, and then and I sent him some books. And I put a $50 bill in one of the books. And he told me later, he said, Dad, do you know how to hide money from an African? I says, no, son, how do you hide money from an African? He says, put it in a book. I said, son, that's wrong. You can't say it. I said, well, Dad, it's the truth. I said, no, it's not. He said, well, it kind of is. So I put the money in there, and I said, son, did you find the money? He says, yes, Dad, I found the money. He said, but you send me Papa Hagen books. You send me books, Dad. So I sent him books through the years. So I decided I was going to go over there. This I can really draw this out. But about 1 week out, 2 weeks out, I called him and said, I'm canceling on you. I'm not coming. Because we were right in the middle of remodel, and the church I had taken over was in 911. Everything was wrong. I said, I'm not coming. And he called me back a week before I'm supposed to go. And he says, Dad, pray again. The Holy Spirit's not released you from me. And I look at my wife, I tell her, and she says, you know you're supposed to go. So God put together a trip. Yellow fever shots, the whole nine yards. Got my visa back, tickets and everything in 1 week, which is phenomenal. And I went over there and stepped off at 10 o'clock at night to meet someone I've never met in Ghana, Africa. That tropical heat hit me. I stepped off and I had a realization, come to Jesus moment. Says, well, this is God or I'm dead. Because I'm by myself. And so we go into Ghana. God cared enough to invest in one. Now, you may look at this small meeting and you may say, this is, well, what are we accomplishing here? God cares enough to invest in one. Jesus did it all the time. And what happened is, to go over there, his mom was married to, so his mom's dad was an educator and never taught his daughter to read. Because no need for it. She had tribal, where they took and slashed her face for tribal markings. And but she had was a Catholic gal that got Holy Ghost filled, and somehow, some way, I don't know exactly how, but they had gotten this property. It was a very rough piece of property. It was as rough as just a raw cement structure is all it was. And if you fell down on the cement floor, you would kill yourself because that's how rough it was. They had one car in the entire church. One guy that went to the church had one car. And when I went down to see what he did, I stepped into poverty, where I seen children running through raw sewage, playing naked. I mean, it was just horrible situations. And I went over there blessed. I went over there blessed. He was making $18 a month. I told him, son, come pick me up at noon. We'll go have lunch. I says, all right, son, come pick me up about 6. We'll go have supper. So they did. Of course, they were always an hour late. But he said, this eating every day at the same time is a great idea. He says, normally we just eat when we get food. You have to understand, $18 a month is not enough to live on. Do you realize that 3 billion people on the earth make less than $2 a day? How blessed are you? I'm trying to get something to you here. How blessed are you? Well, I'm really not liking my life very much. Well, I'll tell you what, just get on an airplane and then send somebody over here and let them take your life over. They will be very happy. Yeah. I'm over there, and I begin to just minister. I've been over about 3 days, and I realize I need to get on the internet, let Sandy know I'm still alive. So I get on, and I go there, and he shows me this girl. He says, Dad, she's over there helping and stuff. He says, Dad, you see this lady? I says, yeah, I see her. He says, and he's single. He doesn't know anything hardly about the word. He says, Dad, she's a godly woman. She says, wonderful, son. Says, well, Dad, she sings beautifully. I said, well, son, I said, she's pretty. I said, son, she's single? She says, Dad, yes. I says, I'm going to give you money. Take her out. He says, Dad, you give me courage. He calls me about 2 or 3 months later, he says, Dad, remember the woman? I said, yeah. He says, we're going to be married. I says, that's wonderful, son. He says, no, Dad, I have to buy a cow. So I actually bought a cow. A wife. This man learned about giving. And his wife told me, he says, listen what I, he says, he would get rice. He says, we would not have food, and he would get rice. And you know what he would do? She would look at me and says, do you know what he would do, Dad? He would give the rice away. He would not eat and let me eat, but he would give what he had away because you taught him the principle of sowing and reaping. You taught him the principle of giving. Now, for about 8 years, I went over there and I sowed into his life. And one day I looked at him and I said, this is it, son. You're cut off. I'm never going to send you another dime because there's enough money in Ghana to build the work of God. You're anointed. I taught you faith. He said, Dad, that day, you hurt my feelings horribly. You hurt my feelings. I said, son, it's time to grow up. Some of you need to cut the strings from some of your kids. Oh, I just went and started meddling then, didn't I? If you teach them faith, they'll know how to live by faith. So, let me just fast forward here because I could stay all day long with this story. Because God has done so many miracles there. Today you step into the sanctuary and you step on the Spanish ceramic tile. Up front it glistens and it says an inscription there, to God be the glory. It has vaulted ceilings. He has a private office, air conditioned. He's got his furniture. He's probably got $5,000-$6,000. This is the way you walk around in his office. He has about every Kenneth Hagin DVD known to humanity. He has the books that I've sent him. I walked out when all this was going on. I walked outside and I just drew. And I said, all right, son, over here you're going to build a youth room. And you're going to build a children's room. And I walk over and I do another place. And I said, okay, this is where you're going to build new restrooms. And you know what he's done? He's built them all debt-free. Okay. You pull up the parking lot now, cars everywhere. 95%, he said, 95% of my people are tithers. He says, and 95% of my people are working. Now then, get this. He walks up to me and he says, Dad, from now on, the dad will no longer provide for the son will provide for the dad. Wow. And for the last 3 years I've gone back, they've not let me change any money, not allowed me to buy one thing. And when I was going to Venezuela, he gave me 36 $100 bills. This time he only gave me 25. Paid for my ticket, basically. An African with a third grade education. He start writing to me. I had to sit down and have to decipher why. Now then, he's a published author. Travels to the UK. He said, Dad, sometimes I just fly to the UK to buy suits. I said, well, okay. You're a little over my head, son. See, all of that has because of this one thing. When a blessed man walks into an area that's hungry for the blessing, And they're willing to do. They're willing to do. Come on. Believe that God will bless him. He says, so Melvin, he says, I'm hot. Everyone wants me to come and preach. Everyone loves me. Everybody, he says, I'm on the radio. Everyone thinks it's great. He says, and then they say, start trying to say that they taught me. He said that somebody else taught me. I said, no, when no one knew me, when no one thought anything was in me, he poured into me. See, you have to see the power of the one. Ministering to the power of the one because you're blessed. Now, when I sat back and I looked at all that, I go, oh, Lord Jesus, how in the world could you do such a thing? And see, when you raise up someone, guess what they get to do? They get to stand on your shoulders and do better than you do. Huh? See, now, because I was obedient and went, and ultimately when I was there, so you get challenged in the blessing. See, I was there, and ultimately what happened when I was sitting there, and I says, Lord, I'm going home, because I was by myself, I was away from my family, I was in Africa, they couldn't show up for anything on time, and I was really mad most of the time, and God still did something great. It's an amazing thing what God will do. He's driving down the road, and he stops a Muslim funeral. Walks over and picks a 10-year-old boy up. Stops the funeral and raises it and says, "I command you in Jesus' name to live." He says, "God told me to." He says, "Dad, I brought the boy down. He didn't live. I was surprised." So I said, "Hold the boy back up again." And so I command you in Jesus' name to live. So I brought the boy down. He opened his eyes. He said, I set the boy down. I said, now give him something to eat. And four Muslims dropped to the floor and gave their lives to Jesus. Hey, I've got stories I could tell you that you would think that it's impossible. But you know what? When somebody's blessed, walks into a land, and you start telling them prosperity, to go into an African country where it seems like that everybody's impoverished, and now then people are rising up, people are gaining something. Why? Because they believed. Amen. John's children, my children, blessed. They're standing on our shoulders. They're going to do more than what we did. Praise God. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm not challenged by that. A little jealous sometimes, but I get over it. Because I say, Lord, look what you've done. It's amazing. Just because we understand that we're blessed. Are you perfect?
No.
But you're blessed. Bible says we're to subdue the earth, have dominion over every living thing. Subdue and dominion gives you a position of authority over the earth. Subdue, defined, means to bring under your control. Dominion means to rule or to reign. So you have authority. You know that. If I'm talking to the right people, you have authority in the name of Jesus. But what I find out about Christians is they won't take it. They won't take it. Now we know in Luke 9:1, it says he called the 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. We know that's what Jesus did. Power and authority. So we see that if you have power and authority, for instance, if you're driving along and you see Barney Fife outside and he's standing out there, you young people don't know who that is, so I'll say if you see a weak police officer and he's holding his hand up and telling you to stop, what are you going to do? Why? Because your car is bigger than him, right? You can run him over, right? But you don't. Why? Because he has what? He has what? What do you have? Why do you have authority? Because you're blessed. You're blessed. See, Mark 11:23 says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So Jesus is talking to mountains. Jesus talks to trees. Jesus talked to wind. Jesus talked to waves. That's crazy. That's crazy. You catch me outside talking to a tree, walk by us, and I'm talking to a tree. What are you going to say about me? Pastor's out there talking to a tree. Well, what's he saying? When he started talking to a tree, I just laughed. He's crazy. See, everything that is created by God was created must respond to you because you're blessed. See, you're blessed. Whoever says, you have to say something. Whoever says. But what most Christians do is they're quiet. They're quiet. They don't say anything. When my mother said if I couldn't say anything nice, I won't say anything at all. So you just don't say anything. But see, you I don't want to get ahead of myself. But we know in Proverbs 18:21, it says that death and life are the power of the what? Power of the what? So you can speak life or you can speak. So you can speak life or you speak. God's called you to be a blessing, right? So why do we talk? We talk blessing, right? That means that we don't talk about the church down the road. Pastor down the road. Oh, they got quieter, but nonetheless. Huh? We don't talk about sister so-and-so. Well, I'm just calling to tell you that we need to pray for Sister Betty's daughter. You know? You know. You know what she did? Let me tell you what she did. Sweetie, when you say that, you're as bad as a murderer. And you need to stop it. Amen. So we know the original commission has told us to do what? To be a blessing. That's what we're supposed to do. And we know we have divine potential. God's given us tremendous potential. The poorest man in the world without a dream has no destiny. See, the scripture says, if you have to be, you have to have a destiny in the Lord to be blessed. You understand that you're blessed to be a blessing. I always tell people like this, why not be a millionaire? Well, that's just going after worldly things. Well, what could you do for the Lord with 10 times more than what you have? Well, I hadn't thought of it that way. Well, think of it that way. So sometimes the spiritual attack against you is a financial attack because he knows that if he can get it to you, then he can get it through you. Well, I want to be a blessing to so-and-so and this and that, and I want to be able to be a blessing to my church, I want to be able to do this. Why not? The problem that we find today is that we have such difficulty, we get subdued by the surroundings around us and we get talked out of our imagination. If you ask a small child anywhere, anything, you take a little girl, little boy, what are you going to be when you grow up? They don't go, I will be a drug addict. They don't do that. Huh? They don't do that, do they? No, I will be an alcoholic. No, they don't do that. What do they say? What are you going to do? I will be the president. A good one. Huh? I want to be a princess. Yeah. I want to be a doctor. Yeah. Huh? Or whatever your profession may be. They say, I want to be, you know, my son, whatever I did, he said, I want to do what you do. And can I ask a question? Why is that? Because they look in you and they see what? Identity. They see purpose. They see something that they want to do. But we get older, we get a hold of some people. Well, you know what they want to do? He thinks he's going to be a doctor. Well, that boy's so stupid. They're never going to be able to get the money together to get that stuff. See, you lose your spiritual imagination, you lose the blessings of the Lord. So you got to get outside the box, saints. Amen. Wow. Can I touch you a little bit? I know that you already know this, but I'm going to go ahead and just say it. Romans 10:8-10, and it's just a simple lesson in faith. For those of you who have not been here, I want you to know this. This is how you get saved. Romans 10:8-10. It says, but the, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Now, if the word is in you, if it's near you and in your mouth and in your heart, it's called the word of faith. The word of faith is not a movement. It's called the word of faith, which we preach. That's what we're doing here now. We're preaching the word of faith. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what happens? You will be saved. God will save you, right? Now, we know that word saved is more than going to heaven. It's prosperity. Everything that you ever need from God is in there, right? Healing, everything. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we understand that this. If I believe it in my heart and confess it with my mouth, if I believe, I confess, I'm what? Saved. So how do you get saved? By believing in your heart that God raised him from the Jesus from the dead, and you confess him with your mouth, right? That's how you're saved. So how do you get into healing? By believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. That means that, listen. How do you get into prosperity? By believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. But what happens is Christians get quiet. They won't talk what God... Can I put it this way? If you're going to build a house, are you going to go out and get some material? You're going to go get material, right? You're going to get what you need to build a house, right? Okay. Now, you got to look at it this way. The words you speak today is the material that God will use to build your tomorrow.
That's right.
If you're saying nothing, what will you get? And you wonder why God won't move, because you will not work the word of faith.
That's right.
And believing is not enough. Believing is not enough. I got this illustration. Doesn't matter where I got it from. I stole everything I've got. If we're sitting here, we're having a meeting, and up through the ranks comes this person, and he disrupts the service, and he falls to the ground, and just collapses, and disrupts the service, and we have a medical professional come over, and they grab a hold of him, says, this man is in the last stages of starvation, and if he doesn't eat something in the next 30 minutes, he'll die. So we got good chili back here, and we can hold it and get everything. We revive him and we put a meal before him, and says, "Do you believe if you eat, you'll not die?" Well, of course I believe I'll eat if I don't. I'm not stupid. Yes, I believe if I will eat, I will not die. Do you really believe, sir, if you will eat this food, you will not die? Well, I know that. I'm not stupid. Of course, when 30 minutes goes by, he falls over dead. He believed. I believe that God heals. It's not enough. Faith is acting on what you believe. And confession is the first step. Confession is the first step. You have to start saying what you believe. You have to say what you believe. Now, if you go around repeating what the doctor says, may the Lord have mercy upon you. Because you have to say what Dr. Jesus says about you. You have to say what the Lord says about you. See, you can change any atmosphere anywhere you go. God can do it. We have to see it like this, because we're so blessed, and the enemy wants to shut us up. He wants us to get on. He wants us to agree with him. He wants us to get in negativity and agree with him. He wants us to get on the side of cancer and agree with him. He wants us to get on the side of heart disease and agree with him. He wants us to do that. He don't want us to get on the side and believe in God. See,
We better say what the physician says, because all he can say is what he sees. But see, you got to get over to another realm, because you're blessed. You're in another realm. I hope I'm not getting too far for you, because this is a simple message. All you need to do is understand that God's done something great for you, that you're blessed. Every manufacturer creates a product to fulfill a purpose, and every product is designed with the ability to fulfill its purpose. The potential of a product is determined by its purpose. An iPhone. To use an iPhone for a coaster is kind of a waste, isn't it? Well, it's got this nice little fancy iPhone. I like the CD on it. It holds my coffee in the morning. Because the iPhone's created for a purpose. Huh? Then it's chief. All the folks are going to have to walk 5 miles to get water and walk 5 miles back. Someone comes in and says, hey, we're going to get good 4x4, chief. And they walk over and says, it's got air conditioning. Man, it's got DVD player. It's got all this stuff in it. It's wonderful. It's great for you. Now, then you're able to do this and you're able to drive, get the water and drive back. And go back a year later. The guy's got a mule hooked up to it, dragging it out there, dragging it back. Is it fulfilling its purpose? Are you blessed? Are you fulfilling the purpose that God has to see? You're a product. God created you so that people can look at you and see the blessings of the Lord that's upon your life. Well, right now I'm going through hell. Then you come out of hell by understanding with a revelation that I'm blessed of the Lord. Everything I put my hand to prospers. That means you need to go, hallelujah, I'm blessed. Put your hands on your own self, bless God. Believe.
Amen.
So you're rooted. Well, I'm a woman. Well, yeah. Yeah. So you can control every man you walk in the room. Hallelujah. You got power. Well, I'm stupid. Well, wonderful. You idiot savant. You'll be great. God will use you in a wonderful way. See, God can unlock, because you are divinely designed by God to be a blessing upon this planet. You weren't just put here. God releases the blessing upon you because the blood of Jesus has washed all your sins away. And there's only two ways that you can reign in life. And it's through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that you're able to walk as a king and move among the people that don't know anything about God. When you walk into a store, the atmosphere should change. Just by you putting your feet upon this land, blessed be the name of Jesus, you're blessed. What happens if you lose a dog? Walking through the neighborhood, here, peppy, 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 peppy. You're walking all over, everywhere you go, here, peppy. People look out their door and go, who's he talking to? They know what you're doing. Huh? You ever lose a cat? Hee, kitty, 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 kitty! Kitty, 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 kitty! Everybody just says, well, they've lost their cat. So what you need to do is you need to step outside and say, blessings! Blessings! Amen. God's given you potential. He's given you potential. But I want to tell you, I don't even know what time I started, because I can go up here, I can go forever, because you're polite and y'all won't just get up and leave me. You might, if my wife gets up, I know I got to shut up. She's your only hope. What I found out is that, see, God's created us. But the enemy will challenge that. I was minding my own business, and I found out that I didn't have much. If I did anything, it's like I just didn't have the breath to do it anymore. I said, man, I'm really out of shape. And so I have had a medical doctor in my church this time. She came by, to ER doc. She caught me out in the yard, and she says, "Here, let me listen to you." So she listened to me. She says, "You go to where a cardiologist is now. Now." Well, I had to preach that night, so I wasn't too concerned about it. Until she's standing there in the yard, and my wife pulls up. And she tells on me. Now, that's a bad thing. When your wife is told by the medical doctor, get him somewhere and get him now. Now, I can't. My car has never, ever, at one time, at that point, had ever not started. It wouldn't start that day. And it never recreated the problem after that. We started trying to go. We finally get there. They diagnose me with congestive heart failure, AFib, pneumonia. And so they start trying to do all this stuff for me and help me. And I'm just thinking, well, I'm supposed to be in Costa Rica in like 11 days. And then I've got to go to El Salvador after I get through with that. So, and I told him, I got to go get this done because I got to go somewhere. He says, "You're not going anywhere." I said, "Oh, yeah, I am. I am. I'm going." So they get me fixed, and I went to Costa Rica and El Salvador. And when I was over there, I realized I couldn't even carry my own luggage through the airport. Sandy had to carry it for me. And I had to stop the baby. And she's a little short-legged gal, but she can walk fast. But she's a short-legged gal, and she's always in a hurry. And I'm kind of like, and she's, so I said, baby, slow down. And we hit steps. I had to slow down. And I realized I got over there, and they sent me without any diuretics, and I got fluid on my lungs. And when I lay down, I heard that gurgle, you know. So what's that? And here I am preaching. Blessed man preaching. Fighting for his life. It got so dark, and what I mean spiritually dark, that you pray, and it's like God's not hearing. Not hearing. I knew what the word said. I felt like crap. Felt horrible. When you're in AFib, all I can tell you is that it is like the most horrible feeling because your heart's beating in a whole other rhythm. And you have an infraction rate. And my infraction rate is how much blood is pumping through your body. I was at 27%. And I was 1 week out from getting a defibrillator. And I fought this. I was diagnosed in December of 2010. And it was in May 29th of 2011. And we fought all that time. I was taking 6 to 8 naps a day. I was not myself. John and Ann, we went on vacation together. And they you know, it's kind of like I was there, but I wasn't there. Because I had to make myself do everything. Sometimes the truth is in the action. But nonetheless, we were. So what do? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Amen. My wife, she said, "How do you feel?" "Baby, I feel with my hands." Because what does it matter how I feel? It matters what God's word says. What does it matter that my body's not functioning? It matters what the word says. He said his word and healed me. Delivered me from all my destruction. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And forget not any of his benefits. He forgives all my diseases. Excuse me, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. What do you start to saying? You start saying the word. Amen. The church has grown quiet. the greatest weapon on the planet. There's not a politician that can pull us out of this, ladies and gentlemen. America will fail if the church does not arise. And this is not negativity. This is just what I feel by the Spirit. If we don't do, if you don't do, don't you point at your neighbor and say it's somebody else's job. I'm saying it's you. I'll put it this way. You are upon this planet to represent the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to all the world and to preach the gospel. God has no backup plan. You're it. There's a responsibility upon you because you're blessed. The problem with me is I so much I want to give, but this is what I got to tell you, is that you're blessed. And every day that you get up, you can complain or you can say you're blessed. You can gripe and bellyache, or you can say you're blessed. You can, when you hit tragedy or difficulty, something hits you out of the blue. That's something bigger than you. Ultimately, you got to give yourself. If you don't know what to do, keep your mouth shut until you can say words of faith.
Amen.
And God will turn it around. Amen. Amen. I believe I have preached long enough. Well, which one? Which was? Oh, yeah. May 29th, 2011. Thank you for helping me with that, John. Listen. Of all the things, my father-in-law, during the first service, my father-in-law comes in. He's Pentecostal type. And he's been like a dad to me. And he says, son-in-law, I got to pray for you. And he comes around me, and he starts, and he grabs a hold of me, and he goes after me in a Pentecostal way. And when he goes after me in a Pentecostal way, he's spitting on me. He's at the top of his lungs. He's taking authority over every single thing he knows to. And ultimately, I said, well, that's great. You know what? I didn't feel any different after that was done. Monday morning, I get up. And I said, honey, something's different. Tuesday morning, I get up and said, something's really different. I'm 1 week out from getting a defibrillator. I call him up and says, I'd like to cancel my appointment for a defibrillator. Well, Mr. Sparks, are you ill? No, I've been healed by the power of God. It's real quiet. And they said, well, I guess if you feel better, there's no need for you coming in. I go back to the cardiologist. The cardiologist says, Mr. Sparks, you need to take these drugs. I says, do you take them? He says, no, I don't take them. He says, now understand, if you're, and I'm not telling you not to take your drugs, because if you're in a situation you're recovering, then you do everything you can. You take everything you can. Take the doctor's pills. There's nothing wrong with that. Take everything you can do. Because you're fighting disease. It's not anti-faith to take pills. If you'll take pills, I bless them in Jesus' name. Whatever you need to do. But I got to a place where I knew I was physically healed. My body had responded. I knew I was. And at that point, I said, well, doctor, do you take them? He says, no. I said, why don't you take them? He says, because I don't have congestive heart failure. He says, yep, me either. And today, I take nothing. That's May 29th, but I was in Ghana, West Africa, my 5th anniversary. I could probably go out and get life insurance now at a right reasonable price. Because it's been 5 years. Isn't that something? Went back to the doctor, and you know what? Infraction rate up. Hallelujah. So this is the message I have for you, folks. You're blessed. Can you say that out loud? Say it with your mouth. And when you look at your kids, you say, that's the stupidest kid I've ever seen. Hey, why are my boys so stupid? No, No. I get it, but no. Call those things which are not as though they are. He's the smartest boy. Yeah. He's trying to eat marbles. He's a good boy. Smart boy.
Let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah. Blessed. I really got off the track, but that's okay. Now, what we're going to do is let me ask, well, first let's figure out what we're going to do.